You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome into a rare pregame edition of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, and I'm bringing you this quick pregame edition a few hours before the Rockets take on the Dallas Mavericks in Dallas, their second-to-last preseason game, because, as you guys know, in the last 18 hours, we have finally had some breaking news on Pat Beverley. Now, on yesterday's show, I discussed what Mike D'Antoni told us at practice. That's that they were no longer counting on Beverley to be ready for the season opener. That was a big shift from what they had said, really, from the outset of this injury and their disclosure to us. They always said it was a minor maintenance-type issue, that he was definitely expected back. Yesterday was a big change, D'Antoni told us. So on our show, I talked a bit about the implications for the rotation as it pertains to Eric Gordon, Cajun McDaniels, and any of the other guards, including Pablo Prigioni, Tyler Ennis, and everyone else on the Rockets roster this preseason. Well, D'Antoni did not tell us specifics about the injury. He said that Beverley was meeting with doctors this week and that we'd learn a little bit more in the coming days. But it came out last night from Calvin Watkins of ESPN that Beverley is, in fact, considering surgery for the knee. The tricky thing, well, we don't know what the surgery is for. The Rockets have said throughout this situation that it's a left knee irritation, which, as I've said, I don't know what that means. It could be a lot of different things. Anything can be irritated. It's very vague. I think they were hoping that it would go away pretty quietly within a few days, especially after giving him the week off when they went to China, and then unfortunately the knee did not respond as they had hoped. Now again, it's not as if Pat has been in hiding. He has been at practice, dressed out, riding the bike. He just has not been going through full drills with the team. So I want to note for the record that this is not a situation where, you know, he's on crutches or it seems like a severe injury and we don't know. He has been there. It seems like a nagging minor thing, but it's a nagging minor thing that simply has not gone away. And so Calvin's reporting that surgery is an option. He didn't say what it was. Key thing, surgery is not always a huge deal. And to that end, Jonathan Fagan of the Houston Chronicle reported today that surgery is not determined yet. Beverley has another consultation scheduled this week, and that the rehab time would be roughly the same with or without the arthroscopic procedure. I said yesterday on my own Twitter account that I was guessing maybe a knee scope, something related to a meniscus, because that's really about the shortest timetable you can get. You can either have a meniscus repaired or removed, but since we're talking a very short-term thing, my guess is that he would have it removed, if indeed that's what it is. You can repair a meniscus. That's what Russell Westbrook did after the infamous incident with Pat Beverley, of all people, back in the 2013 playoffs, but that repairing has a timetable of several months to recover, if not an entire season, and it's pretty clear that's not what we're talking about. Most meniscus issues are simply fixed by removing, and a player can come back really quickly. Like, the quickest I can recall, Blake Griffin, when he was at OU in college, actually played 6 days after having his meniscus removed. So it's possible to come back really quickly. However, I don't think the Rockets would push the envelope with Pat Beverley, given the fact that it's a long NBA season and they want him to be healthy for as long as he possibly can. Now, we don't know that it's a meniscus. I will point out that there is a message board poster on Clutch Fans with a report saying a few weeks ago that Beverley has a partially torn meniscus and they're not sure if they're going to have surgery or not. That would fit with the timetable. Personally, I cannot verify that that report is accurate, but it certainly would fit with some of the things we've heard from Calvin Watkins of ESPN and Jonathan Fagan of the Houston Chronicle on Twitter this afternoon. It's also worth noting that a few years ago, Beverley did have an issue with the meniscus in his other knee. As I'm sure you guys remember, this happened right before the 2014 playoffs, and then there was one apparent flare-up in the playoffs in that series against the Portland Trail Blazers. And Beverly, when he had an issue with the meniscus in his right knee, actually chose a non-surgical route. If you remember, the concern was that he'd be out for the year. He ended up not having surgery at all and just playing through it. Now, this is not that knee, so I don't think it's related to that. However, I think it goes to show that Beverly is not necessarily going to choose the surgical route. A lot of people assume that that's what was going to happen back then. It didn't happen, and he ended up returning within about 2 weeks. So again, I would not write him off for a particular period of time. However, from what Jonathan said, the rehab time should be about the same no matter what. Surgery or not, my guess is you're looking at least 2 to 4 more weeks from right now, which would, at a bare minimum, mean that Pat is going to miss some regular season games. Now, I know a lot of you are going to get concerned and say, well, is this issue going to keep happening if he doesn't have surgery, or is there going to be after effects from the surgery? Not necessarily. I will point out, since Pat had the issue with his right meniscus 2 years ago, I don't think that's come up again. He played 2 almost full seasons in the NBA without any apparent right knee issues that I could see. So I would not write him off based on whatever is going on with his knee. And again, we don't know 100% that it's a meniscus. That's just the best guess based on the timetable and some of the things we have heard to this point. I also don't think it's fair to label Pat as an injury-prone player. For one thing, I hate people that suffer random injuries when fans call them injury-prone or something to that effect. Because really, I don't think you can be prone to things like, say, Eric Gordon breaking his finger last year. It doesn't work that way. Now, you can have chronic injuries, like Yao with his feet, Tracy McGrady with his back, perhaps Dwight Howard with his knee. Remember, he had the edema, the bone-on-bone condition with the cartilage wearing down. You can certainly have chronic injuries that keep coming up again. But 2 years ago, the issue with Pat Beverly was the fluke scenario where he tore a ligament in his wrist. Eric Gordon last year, you know, he had off and on had issues with knees for a few years. Gordon broke a finger on an awkward fall last year. No one's body, especially not at the NBA level, is prone to random injuries. That's just bad luck. It can happen to anyone. Now, you can have certain injuries, certain body parts that wear down, and certainly if you have a torn meniscus that, you know, is not repaired, is not removed, certainly it can make you prone down the line, and you might want to worry about it if there's a subsequent issue with Pat. But I would not look at this, you know, I can't remember him having any other major issues in his career with his left knee, and then just assume this is going to be a season or career altering thing. He's had some bad luck, but by and large, Pat Beverly seemed to have turned a corner. He played over 70 games last year, played in every playoff game, did not really have any major issues. So I object a little bit to some of the characterization I've seen on Twitter that Pat's injury prone, or that you can't rely on him, or that the Rockets need to move on. It's unfortunate, and actually, to Pat's credit, when he reported to camp this year on Media Day, he talked about losing weight. If you guys remember, on this very show, I talked about how he had lost 8 pounds in the offseason, and his goal was to lose at least 6 more by the end of training camp. And a big reason for that was he realized that there's no real incentive to being a bulky guard in the modern NBA. It's not like officials are going to let you play physical with guys like Stephen Curry and Russell Westbrook, so you may as well try to have more speed and put less pressure on your joints, specifically your knees, as you age. And as Pat Beverly gets, and he's now in his upper 20s and starts to enter the second half of his NBA career. So, again, I get the frustration. Knee injuries are never a good sign, but I would not write him off. I think a lot of the reaction has been overkill. Anyway, to sum up, I cannot verify for sure that it's a meniscus issue. We don't know the specifics of the injury. I think we'll hear that by the end of this week. Whether he has surgery or not, he's going to visit a couple more doctors, and then I think the Rockets will give us a more precise description of the nature of the injury, as well as the timetable we're looking at. For right now, all we know is basically what Calvin and Jonathan reported and what Mike D'Antoni told us yesterday, which is that the Rockets are not expecting him to be ready for the start of the season, which is a week from today in Los Angeles against the Lakers. Now, what does this mean? I talked about this a little bit on yesterday's show, but since then we've heard that, yes, Eric Gordon is moving back into the starting lineup alongside James Harden. Whether you consider Harden the point guard or the shooting guard is irrelevant. Basically, the point is that you want another ball handler next to James Harden, because that's what Pat Beverly would have provided if he were in that starting lineup. And for last week. And this is one thing that you can show that the Rockets were not necessarily expecting this all along. Last week, they started Eric Gordon in games 2 and 3 of the preseason alongside Harden. Then they flipped to KJ McDaniels the last two games as your starter next to Harden in the backcourt. And the stated reason for that by Mike D'Antoni was that he wanted Gordon in the role to let him get comfortable as that sixth man, because that's the role that he will be in when Pat Beverly returns. And of course, what ended up happening in those games, especially Saturday against Memphis, the Rockets had pressure with trapping, they had problems with pressure, because no one outside of Harden was really capable of bringing the ball up the floor. So there were a lot of turnovers and a lot of awkward situations. And I'll tell you guys right now, the fact that they flipped back to Gordon, which Jonathan Fagan also reported today, he's with the team in Dallas, that shows you that, no, the Rockets were not expecting this with Pat Beverly. Because if they were expecting this, if they knew from the outset that this injury was going to be a 4 to 6 week type thing, and that surgery were a possibility, then they would have just rode it out with Gordon in the starting lineup in this preseason to get him all the reps that they possibly could, and to let he and Harden get used to playing together and starting games together. The fact that they went with KJ McDaniels for two games shows you that as recently as last weekend, there was hope that Pat Beverly would be back for the regular season opener. So no, I don't buy that the Rockets knew this was a serious deal all along and that they were just hiding it from us and waiting to see what would happen with Gordon and McDaniels. No, they had hope that Beverly would be back. That's why they were hoping they could get KJ McDaniels some more reps and keep Gordon in his usual six-man role. It's just not going to work out. So now they're flipping back to Harden and Gordon, which it's a little bit of a defensive liability. Neither Harden or Gordon is a guy you want to guard opposing point guards on the defensive end. They're not really quick enough, and you don't want, in the case of Harden, to expend that much energy. But you don't have a choice, really, because you just need a secondary ball handler. Otherwise, good NBA coaches and good defenses are just going to trap and press the same way Memphis did, and it's just going to be impossible for the Rockets to get into their offense, which is something that Mike D'Antoni desperately needs them to be able to do. I do think that Beverly's injury is going to... The guy that's most directly impacted in terms of minutes is going to be KJ McDaniels, because he's going to come off the bench and play a lot of minutes that would have gone to Pat Beverly. It's just not going to be in Beverly's direct spot in the starting lineup. You want Gordon next to Harden, and then you bring in KJ off the bench against second teamers who might be, it might be a lot easier to have one ball handler on the floor as opposed to the very beginning of games when you're going against the best the opponent can throw at you. Now, aside from giving a lot of Beverly's minutes to KJ McDaniels, I've seen a lot of concern on Twitter, people saying, well, are the Rockets going to go after a point guard either on the waiver wire or by trade? I would be a little surprised. Here's why. With Pat Beverly, he brings you two things. He brings you defense, and he brings you ball handling. So if you want to replace the defense, that's what KJ McDaniels is for. That's why I think KJ is going to get the majority of the minutes would have gone to Beverly, possibly some for Corey Brewer as well, because Brewer can be a very steady defender, even if point guards. So I think if you want Beverly's type of defense, you're going to see McDaniels and Brewer out there. If you want a point guard, that's what Pablo Prigioni, who's had good run before his shoulder sprain a week ago in China, and also Tyler Ennis, who scored 14 or 16 points, can't remember now, Saturday night against the Grizzlies. We've heard that tonight against the Mavs, Ennis is going to get a lot of run, with Prigioni likely still out with that shoulder injury. But the point is, both of those guys are perfectly capable point guards, and the Rockets chose them. It's not like they're just random guys that are just on the roster. The Rockets signed Pablo Prigioni when there were a lot of other viable backup point guards on the market, including guys like Isaiah Cannon, Aaron Brooks. The Rockets chose Pablo Prigioni because they thought he was a good fit for when they needed a point guard. They traded for Tyler Ennis, giving up Michael Beasley to get someone that they saw as an ideal pick-and-roll point guard. So I don't think the Rockets are ideal for a... I don't think they're in need of a body at the point guard. I see a lot of fans that are looking at this situation and acting like, well, we just need to get somebody to fill those minutes, to fill that void. I don't think that's how the Rockets are looking at it. They've got capable point guards that they can throw in if they feel like they want a true point guard, either offensively or defensively. They've got capable wing defenders with guys like KJ McDaniels and Corey Brewer. There's not a depth issue per se. What the Rockets would ideally be able to find is another player with the combination of ball handling and defense like Pat Beverly had, which allowed him to be a perfect complement to James Harden as your point guard, basically allowing Harden to be the point guard on offense, but Beverly guard the point guards on the other end while also being a 40% three-point shooter on offense. It's the combination of the ball handling and the defense, not just being a point guard, not just being a body, and unfortunately, I don't think the Rockets are going to be able to find that. Now, if they could, would they be open to it? Yeah, absolutely. I think they'd love to find somebody who's a roster cut that can come in and, you know, be a good defender of opposing point guards and be a knockdown shooter or something like that. But those guys typically make other rosters. I don't think you're going to see players of that caliber get released as we head to the roster deadline next week. I'm sure Daryl Morey will keep his eyes peeled. He'll monitor the wires. But some of these suggestions I've seen, you know, bring in Kirk Heinrich, just guys that are just a name, a placeholder at point guard, that's not what the Rockets are looking for. They feel that their depth is okay with regards to KJ, Corey Brewer, Prigioni, Tyler Ennis. These guys can fill a role. You'd like for it to be a more versatile role, check more boxes the way Pat Beverly can, but unfortunately there aren't too many of those guys available. My guess is that the more likely scenario for the Rockets, they're just going to try and mix and match as best they can. When they need defense, they'll go to the McDaniel or Brewer type. When they need more structured offense or more of a true point guard, they'll use Prigioni or Ennis, and they'll just try and get through these 2 to 4 weeks, however long it is. We haven't been given an official timetable by the Rockets. That's just me guessing, putting a few pieces together and what looks like a potential arthroscopic situation, or just letting the knee rest with Pat Beverly. I'm guessing 2 to 4 weeks from now is a pretty realistic guess at this point in time. But I don't see it really leading to many major changes with regards to the rest of the roster. This is something where the Rockets are just going to have to ride it out and hope for the best. And it starts tonight against the Dallas Mavericks because, well, they'll start Eric Gordon next to James Harden. We'll get to see how those two fare defensively. And when Gordon comes out, I'm sure KJ McDaniels will go in, and we'll get to see if the ball handling issues with KJ can be mitigated a little bit if you're going against an opponent's second team. The most interesting implication might actually be for your bench scorer. This was a point brought up by David Weiner, a.k.a. Bema Thug, on Twitter, good friend of mine and a past guest on the show. Yes, Gordon can replace Beverly in the starting lineup, and while they have different skill sets, you're probably going to be okay. Where you wonder about is in Gordon's role off the bench. The Rockets had a lot of trouble last year when James Harden was not in games in terms of who could anchor the offense, who could force defenses to respect them to give everyone else room to operate, and that was going to be Gordon's role as a sixth man. Now, it's not impossible. You can still stagger the minutes for Gordon and Harden a little bit, but I don't think you can do it too much because of everything we've just been discussing. You need a secondary ball handler in the game a lot of times. So I think there are going to be times that Gordon and Harden are sitting together now, and the question is, who can step up on that second unit to potentially anchor you on the offensive side of the floor? Because that was going to be Gordon. That's gone now. Obvious candidate Sam Dekker's had a couple of really good games. He's going to be your backup power forward right now. Perhaps he can be that guy. Maybe Corey Brewer. Other than Saturday night, Corey Brewer's had a very strong preseason. He filled that role fairly well for a lot of the 2014-2015 season. So if Brewer has a bounce-back year, perhaps he's a candidate. But outside of Dekker and Brewer, it gets a little dicey because the other guys off your bench, KJ McDaniels, certainly he's not going to be an offensive focal point. Nene, they're concerns about his minutes, and while he's still a good low post player, he's certainly not someone that can create from the perimeter. Pablo Prigioni, Tyler Ennis, they are obviously not guys with that kind of creation ability, at least in terms of their own shots. They can run an offense just fine, but they're not going to break people down off the dribble and be a threat to score at any point. So David mentioned it yesterday. It is a big concern. The one thing I wonder about, if for some reason Dekker or Brewer cannot do it, does it make signing Didonis Mata-Yunas potentially even more necessary? Because then Mata-Yunas can be that secondary scorer from the bench. Remains to be seen. A lot of questions, but we'll start to figure them out tonight in Dallas as the Rockets close out their preseason with this two-game Texas road trip. Dallas tonight, San Antonio Friday, then roster cuts over the weekend, and finally next week, actual basketball, which, again, unfortunately, will not be with Pat Beverly to start the year in all likelihood. So on that note, I'm going to wrap up. Again, I'm Ben Dubose of Sports Talk 790. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. You can always follow the show on Twitter at Lockdown Rockets. You can always email us at lockdownrockets@gmail.com. If you've got any questions for me, sponsorship inquiries, whatever I can do to help you guys become more informed about the team, I'd like to do that. Part of the Lockdown Podcast Network. You can find lots of great shows, including Lockdown Mavs. That's where we had our guest, Mike Marshall, come on yesterday to break down all of these Rockets-Mavs lineups. If you haven't heard that podcast or any of the others we've done this week, please tune into our archives. We've got some really good content. Thanks again to all of you for listening, and I'll be chatting with you again shortly after tonight's game.